the book of Hebrews, the faith of Abraham. Faith of Abraham. Now, I do not assume that you paid close attention. I don't assume that. Not because you didn't understand the words, but because you have no frame to put it in. Everything is confusion today, deliberately. It's deliberately confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. So you're not going to understand politics or religion or anything until you get clear, until you get down to the foundation. Now, once you have a foundation, then it's simple. All of life is extremely simple. Even a child can understand it. But we have complexed it. We have made it complex by our sin, by our own disobedience. Now, what's not on this chart is the secret. There's no secret there. This is just the natural picture. This is how God set up the earth. There's God, the Most High God, and He set it up. But I've left out the most important point of all. For weeks and months, we could go on to how a political house, your politics, is totally built upon this foundation. Duty to worship God, duty to not injure others, love them, duty to render to Caesar, and so on. But those duties actually only tell half the story. The reason that our founders built a different setup, though they totally built it on this foundation, the reason they built a different setup is another way to look at this. Instead of looking at it, let me see if I can get another color here. Instead of looking at it this way, that we start out with a duty, what if we changed the foundation and started out with a promise? Instead of saying, you shall be holy, what if God said, in other words, don't do anything wrong, worship me, love your neighbor, all that stuff, submit to Caesar. What if it started out with a promise that said, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy? Instead of saying, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. In other words, if you don't do it, I'll punish you. I'll only reward you if you obey me. Now, what if it wasn't like that? What if it actually was a promise that God made? Same words. You shall be holy, for I am holy. In other words, it's a promise I'm making to you. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Don't work at it. Take it as a free gift. Now, what would you rather have, work or a free gift? Well, most people would rather have work. Now, you don't understand that, but most people would rather be enslaved. No, I'm serious. Most people would rather be enslaved than to be free and responsible, because it's scarier to be free and responsible. Only children want that. You see, only children. But what they want is free and not responsible. Now, but what if the parent took all the responsibility? What if everything started out with a promise? That would be a different foundation. Now, a promise then would also create a right. A promise, if God promised me something, then I have a right to get it. So it creates a right, which then, instead of necessitating a liberty, would actually grant me a liberty. In other words, if I have a right to something, this is going to be your house someday. Okay, then I have a right to it, and then it grants me the liberty to enjoy myself because it's mine. But that would also imply a capacity, but it's a totally different basis. Now I am in both cases self-governing. In both cases, I'm self-governing. Everything about politics is self-government. No nation in the world has ever allowed it. They don't allow it. They don't want it. Ours was the first one to legally say you were free. No other nation ever said that, even the Greeks. They only gave a limited kind of liberty or freedom. But ours was the first one ever to do it. Why? Built on the Bible. It wasn't built on this foundation. The men, forget the founding fathers, what they wrote here. Forget what they wrote. This is what they intended. The reason they believed this, so freedom was in the people. It wasn't in the government they set up. The reason that they created a free government was not that they thought people would stay free. They actually thought they might not. But the reason they did it was because they believed that God made a promise. So the reason that Jefferson and Madison and Washington and Adams and so forth, the reason that they set it up was not so that you'd have to do it. It's just like, if you want it, there it is. God made a promise. I say this, God cannot make a promise and then not keep it. If God makes a promise, for example, if he promises that he's going to give you the kingdom, then he has to give you the kingdom. Now, if you rely on that promise, you force God, you compel God to keep it because he can't lie. So you've actually forced him, but you're not really forcing him. He's just doing what he wanted to do in the first place. And he loves it, like my kids when I say, we're going to go to the zoo today. And they go, Dad, when is today? It's right now. And then they want to go right now. They don't want to go tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Is today tomorrow? Is it now? You know, because kids don't understand, if you make a promise, do it right now. Are we there? No, no, it's 100 miles. How far is 100? They don't want to wait. Kids are impatient. So that's the way you should be with God. Because in heaven, there's no time. In heaven, when God says something, you're there. It's over. It's finished. So heaven is already done. Heaven has already finished everything it said. It's just on earth that you don't see it. And so there's some time for it to fail. Or some time for it to work out. Now, which do you believe? Do you believe God will fail or do you believe God will work it out? Now, if you look today, I don't think you could conclude God's going to win. I think you'd have to conclude God is the weaker of the two parties. That really the gates of hell have prevailed. You cannot say today that it's really hopeful and exciting and everyone can see exactly how it's heading right for the kingdom. Except for this little group of people there and all over, scattered. Really, the world has the advantage today. Things are getting worse, darker. All of the hopes were lies. And especially today, where we have utopia promised at every hand, it's even going to be worse. Because the sad thing is some people believe in that. The sad thing is some people believe everybody should have a job. Everybody should be given, you know, a house. Everybody should have an education, and so on and so forth. This is naive. How many know that people are free to sin? They're free to not learn. They're free to do whatever they want to do. God does not prevent them from doing it. He just simply says, don't. How does don't help out? Don't do it or I'll spank you. Yeah, but if he delays the spanking, some people will. I'm one of those. If God says, don't do something, and then he doesn't back it up right off, as soon as he turns his back, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I have never, ever obeyed laws, ever. When I do, it's only because he's looking right at that moment. Seriously, I mean, this is sad to say. But if I come up on a stop sign at night, and there's nobody around, let's go right through. I mean, I just take my life in my hands. I revert back to nature where you just do what you want. I do. If nobody's looking, and Peggy and I had often had these discussions. Boy, if somebody could see us right now, they would realize I am not a pastor. You know, so fortunately, I've paid her off, so she's not saying anything. I've told her never preach, never give your testimony or share. No. The truth is that I don't build my life on laws because I can't keep laws. I'm not a law keeper. I'm a law breaker. But promises, they're different. Because now I'm not obligated to do something. God is obligated to do something, and he did it himself. God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He shouldn't have said that. God said, I'll forgive your sins. He shouldn't have said that. God said, you know, it's my pleasure to give you the kingdom. He shouldn't have made those promises. That's silly on his part, because I think he probably will do what he said. Whereas if I said it, you never know. I am so unreliable. I don't know. There may be one or two others in this room that are like me. I am not a reliable person. I am completely... You never know what I'm going to do. You do not know. I am totally unaccountable to anybody. I don't believe in accountability at all. Sorry. It may appear to you that I do, but that's a trick on my part. It's only while you're looking only so I could get your money or your allegiance or whatever it is I wanted. And then I trick you. I'm deceitful like that. I don't know if anybody else is like that. Is there anybody else still here? One or two. One or two. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Oh, my gosh. All right, maybe half the group. But I live better on promises. I will do everything for you. I like those. What do I have to do to earn that? Nothing. I love it. I love promises. I'm going to do this even though you don't deserve it. And that totally bottom lines it. I can see that's a better foundation for a nation. Now, let's read Hebrews. Let's read Hebrews. By faith, now here's the situation. Listen, watch this. 11. Now watch, I'm going to write faith here. Promises require either faith or doubt. Laws require either obedience or disobedience. If you obey, you get the reward. If you disobey, you get the punishment. But I always disobey. But here's what a promise does. You either believe it or you don't. If you believe it, you get the reward. If you don't, you get the punishment, but that's just because you didn't believe it. You see, it's different. Now, by faith, Abraham went forth. By faith, Abraham went forth. It means he had a promise. Faith is always based, builded upon a promise. So if I make a promise, I put a $100 bill out there for everybody that's here today. Now, if you believe that, and I stuck it out behind the pillar out there, as your name on an envelope, go pick it up. Or $1,000, whatever you want. So I make a nice promise. But of course, I lied. It's not out there. But if you happen to believe it, you'd go out and check. Somebody would actually go out there and pick it up. Or let's say I put in $10,000. Whatever it is that would appeal to you, I make the promise. You see? But most of you do not believe I did that. In fact, nobody believes I did that. But when God makes a promise, he can't lie, but I can. But he can't. So if he makes a promise, I'll never leave you, then he can. If he makes a promise, in other words, if you're afflicted, he's afflicted. If you owe something, he owes it. If he makes that promise, silly on him. But he must keep it. So by faith, Abraham went forth. It means he built his faith on this promise, not on this duty. He didn't go forth because he had to. He went forth because God said, I will, listen to these words, these words, I will, are promises. If somebody says, I will, that's not you will. Can you see the difference? I will, that's me. You will, that's you. So, you will do the dishes tonight. Or, you know, and so on. But if I make the promise, I will do the dishes tonight, whoa, you know, Peg, I am going to take you out. Oh, she's excited about that. Because that's a promise that I made. But if God makes a promise, it can't be broken. There's no possibility. It's a covenant. He swears. Whenever God says something, he is swearing by his right hand. Here's what he's swearing. If I break my promise, I will die. You will live. That's how strong he's making it. That's why Jesus died. In other words, if your sins are not removed by me, if you remove your sins, you won't. You're like the mafia. When the mafia kills off the mafia is still remaining afterward. You know, you don't want to have the mafia kill off the mafia, because in the end you still have the mafia. That's my point. But when God says, I will do something, so here's what he said. I will show you a land. Now that's a promise right there. That's one reason I still believe that government is part of God's plan right now. Good government, not bad government. Good government's part of God's plan. That's why I believe the founders set it up. They believe God didn't lie. He actually wanted fathers to raise their children in the fear of God. And because of that, I did. He actually believes pastors should tell the truth, should give the good news out to the people. And because I believe that, I do. He actually believes that marriages should work. I totally believe every marriage should be heaven on earth. And I have mentioned to you that for 40 years, no divorces in Fort Worth. Or if they were, they were immediately restored. So, none. Now, Dallas is different. You get the prize for, you know, I think it's 60%. Sometimes it drops down to 50. But anyway, it's a world record. Because it's the Bible Belt. A lot of promises that are not kept because man makes them. Man has a lot of confidence in himself. So when you say, I do, you may not mean that. But I'm just telling you, I don't believe that. I believe there's no possibility for divorce, no matter what. And not only that, I believe you should have a happy, fulsome, wonderful, heavenly marriage on earth. Not in heaven someday, right here. So I believe all those forms of government, and there's many forms. Those forms of government, one of them is your political house. For example, if I rule myself, if I govern myself under God, then I'll be able to govern my family under God. Then I'll be able to govern my church under God. Then I'll be able to also govern ourselves politically under God. But unfortunately, we are no longer a good people. We are now a corrupted people. And all the politicians, every politician, except for one or two here and there who can accomplish nothing, but except for a few, all your politicians are corrupted easily, quickly. And the ones that aren't will be either never elected again, or they will be defeated because someone will pay a lot of money to keep corruption going. They will be compromised. If they have any weakness in them at all, most men do, if they have any weakness in them, they will immediately be compromised by a photograph, by some kind of, you know, voice retention. And someone will say to them, look, if you do that, just know this is going to happen. They will be bribed by lobbyists, by, you know, certain well-to-do donors, and so on and so forth. That's how the game is played. But it's not God's will. How many know that's not God's will? God actually wants there to be justice on earth. Not just, you know, that judges should be put there so they can be paid off by trial lawyers so that they will do what, you know, what they're told to do by the guy that just paid the bill. Whoever pays the piper wins. And so the people vote for them, but you have no idea that they're not, they have no allegiance to you whatsoever, nor do they believe in any of your documents. Your documents are pieces of paper. Nothing. They're absolutely nothing. Now, unless the people themselves are responsible and free, you won't have a free nation. But fortunately, the smart people in the world have figured out ways to enslave you, find out what all your sins are, and then go for all your sins, keep you completely blinded. Only God holds out the idea that you could have an individual who really loves him, a family that was totally in divine order, a church that was completely bridally pure, and a nation that was righteous altogether. Only God would hold that out. But if he doesn't do it, he's a liar. And he has broken his promise. And he could not judge the wicked, because the wicked could say, yeah, but look at America. Look at, you know, Sweden. Look at Israel. They sinned. How can you judge us? So no nation could be judged by God if he doesn't have a standard himself. There ought to be at least a standard somewhere that says, look, here it was done once, so you're all guilty because this person did it. This nation did it. This family did it. This church did it. Do you all see that? So God owes us. Otherwise, he's a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Otherwise, he's a liar. For that reason, I don't believe it's yet Revelation 13 over here. I believe we're still in Romans 13. Now, by faith, Abraham went forth. What was he going for? Why was he going? Because God made a promise. I will show you a land. I will make your name great. I will bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. On and on and on and on. He made seven promises, which I could go into in utter detail, because I've thought a lot about that. Those promises that he made to Abraham can never be broken. I will make you a great nation. He has to keep that promise or he's a liar. He can't make it in heaven. He's got to keep it on earth. So I believe, you know, that makes me sleep at night when my head hits the pillow, nothing to worry about, nothing to think about, you know, because I know it'll get me up at 4 anyway. And so when my head hits the pillow, I'm snoring. I'm right away, I'm Z-ing. I'm right away finished off. My wife will sit there and think, but I'm not thinking about anything because I got promises. I built my whole life on God's promises. Standing on the promises, blah, 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 blah. So whatever that is, you got to decide whether you're going to stand on those promises or not, and I do. That's my foundation. That's why I'm happy all the time. I am never discouraged. I'm never angry. I'm not scared. I'm not worried. All men are. I'm not. So you have to decide for yourself. If I can do it, you can do it. If God could save me, He could save you. There's no possibility that you are more wicked than I am. But there's no possibility that the most wicked of all could be saved. Just depends on the promises. Now, if it's based on works, I'm finished. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Jim, you will worship me with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. I'm never going to do it. I'm just not. I'm not into worshiping God. I'm totally into worshiping me, preserving me, taking care of me. I'm totally into it by nature. But God comes along and says, look what you've done. How's it going? Pretty good. You're really happy, kind of? I mean, is it really like heaven on earth? I don't know. I've never seen that. I'm just surviving. I knock off a few people and so on, but basically I'm just trying to make it. And God says, you know, how about if I make you a promise? You could have heaven on earth. That's utopia. I don't believe in it. I don't think it's possible. No, you could actually love your wife. Forget that. Let's not even go there. You could be happy every minute of every second of every day. I don't buy that. You could have a church that was truly godly, a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing that Jesus is coming back for. Nice idea. Good try. Not going to happen. Have you ever seen such a church, God? Forget it. So God makes these ridiculous, absolutely stupid promises that I totally believe in. I totally believe a man could be happy all the time. I am. I totally believe a man could serve his wife and love his wife and give up his life for her. I do. I totally believe a church could be like a bride without spot instead of a whore, spotted and wrinkled and all kinds of blemishes. I totally believe that. Not in heaven someday, but on earth. I totally believe that a nation could be devoted to God, but it would take a revolution. But I totally believe in revolutions. I totally believe in miracles. I believe God could do it. I think the problem is my people perish for no vision. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't know. But once you're taught, if I were the devil, I would hate it that anyone would even teach that. Because once you do, it ruins everybody for Satan's kingdom. It makes you want something better than what you now have. So God is making promises to ruin this world's tyranny. This world's evil. He's making promises that create rights. Here I can get a right from a duty. You go and do that. That creates a right in me to go and do what you just told me to do if I'm a superior authority. So if I say to my wife, Peg, go get this right now. Now if I'm the superior, if I'm the head of the house, I am. I'm the head. If I'm the head of the house, I just tell her, Peg, go and do that. You didn't say please. Just go get it. Because I'm superior, right? It's just power. It's not good power. It's just power. It's just authority. I have the authority, and I back it up with power. I'll just knock you down if you don't do it. So go do it. Well, she might obey, but she'd do it begrudgingly. And actually, we had about 25 years of that. Right, Peg? She always did what she was supposed to do, but she hated me. She hated doing it. She knew he doesn't love me. He doesn't care for me, which I didn't. I did not. Now, God said, Jim, you're doing it wrong. So, what you going to do about it? I mean, so what? And there could be all kinds of consequences, but I didn't fear him. I was a pastor. I mean, I trained to be a pastor. I was one. And I said all the words. Whatever, but I'm not living those words. Do y'all understand that? I was a complete hypocrite, and in Fort Worth, in 1971 or something, I stood up in front of the church and said, by the way, I'm a complete phony, an absolute fake. I do not believe a word I say. I just do this to get paid, and it's an easy job, and I like it. And you people are not Christians at all. And not only that, you're ignorant, because you don't know that when I leave this church, I don't go and pray and read Bible and so on. I go and do things I like to do. So this is just a double life for me, but I do this for my bread. So if you were real smart, you'd fire me. You'd go get somebody else. But the person you would get would either be a naive idealist, who would be a liar, or he would be a black desperado, which you already have. So you might want to stick with me. Because one thing I know, I don't know God at all. Never have, and I doubt I ever will. But I'm going to, from this day, I'm going to go and search for him. I'm going to look for God. I did that in 1971. Stood up in front of the church, said all that. Told them I was a complete fake, complete phony, never believed in God, never intended to. But I wanted to find out if there really was a God. Because if there was, I would follow him. Maybe. I wasn't sure. But at least I wanted to know if there was one. Because I did not see it in the churches, in the Christians. They looked like hypocrites to me. It was just that I was an honest hypocrite. In other words, I wasn't a hypocrite because I just told them, I don't believe. You all see that? That is not a way to build a church. But I didn't really care because I didn't have any fear of man or God. I didn't care because I'll go and do something else. I mean, this is not my heart. My heart's not in this stuff. I don't know why I'm doing it. So I thought, you know what? Before I toss this thing away, I need to go and find out if there is a God, because if there is a God, I'm going to hell. I mean, whatever the bad thing is that's going to happen to me, because I've lived like hell my whole life. And if I'm going to change, I need to find out if there really is a God. Because if there is, I'm in trouble. But if there really is, and he's as good as they say he is, and even I preach it, if he's really a kindly guy and is on your side and all those big promises he makes, then let him do it. Let him do it. So I told God, I said, God, whom I don't believe in, I don't think you're out there, but if you are, if you're listening in, I'm going to look for you, but I have no idea where you live. I don't know how to find you. With all my brains, I can't find you. But could you find me? There's a Bible verse. If you surely seek God with all your heart, you shall surely find him. So I said, okay, based on that, I'm going to seek. But if I go west and you're east, I'm in trouble. So could you please sneak around and get east? You know, because whatever way I'm going to go, I want you to find me. If you're there, and I don't think you are, and I don't even want you to be. And I hope you're not, because it would change my life a lot. You could ruin my whole deal. But it isn't working out all that hot anyway. So, not a biggie. Now, God did. He did find me. It was miraculous. It took 7 years. From that hour, 7 years later, I met God. Isn't that amazing? Now, I didn't meet him just in the book. I already had head knowledge. I met him in a living, vital, supernatural, incredible way that I knew that I knew that I knew. Now, nobody can do that. You can't do that. You can't know God like the real God. You can read him in a book, but to actually experience him yourself in an unforgettable way forever. That is amazing. I didn't even think God existed, let alone knew how to talk or could get to me. And so when God did, it killed me. It absolutely killed me. Best thing ever happened. Best thing that ever happened. Strip me. Strip me. I don't look powerful and strong and so on, but I was very strong. I did not think God was smart enough, that he was, you know, powerful in any way. I did not fear him. I did not know him. I never relied on him ever. I didn't even pray, and he didn't come through. I just wouldn't even pray. So I never prayed. I was never sincere. I can tell you that. I was never a sincere person. If I told my wife, yes, I'll marry you and love you, I was not sincere. What I meant to say was, I will do what I want as long as it works, and if it doesn't, I'll do something else. I mean, that was what I meant to say, but she liked lies, so I just gave her a lie. How many know that some men lie? I don't mean anybody here, but I just was a liar. And I just gave her a line. And what for? Why did I do it? What was I expecting? I thought she should worship me, really, but she didn't. She just wouldn't. You know, I just couldn't understand, you know. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't fool around. So what's wrong with me? I mean, what's wrong? I'm a happy-go-lucky guy, good guy, you know, so on and so forth. So what's the problem? But anyway, she was always unhappy, miserable. Of course, it had nothing to do with me. She was miserable before she met me. Do you all understand that? So I just gave her what she, you know, was expecting anyway. I didn't change any of her expectations. Do you all see that? You all not laughing. But it's okay. It's okay. You're still taking yourself seriously. I understand. But real people are nasty. That's what God says. And that's what I was. And so when I read the Bible, I never argued with it, ever. As a pagan, as a total pagan, I never thought that the Bible was wrong. I just felt I wasn't interested in it. I didn't think it was wrong. I wasn't arguing about it. I wasn't an atheist saying there is no God. I was just agnostic saying, I don't know. I have no clue, but I don't think there is. And if he is, he never catches me. He doesn't catch me. I get away with murder all the time. I get away with whatever I want to do. I can cheat people, deceive people, lie to people, steal from people, and they don't catch me. That was amazing. And I did get caught one time. And when I got caught, I got out of it within minutes. I was out of it within minutes. I should have gone, you know, to prison and so on. I just didn't. Because I figured out if you cheat Christians, they're supposed to forgive you. And they get all messed up, you know. And if you cry, and I did, it sounded like I was repentant, and they bought it, and I got off. It was amazing. It's a funny story, but anyway. So if there really is a real, real God, you can't con him. I mean, oh, if he's really what he says he is, he's smart. He's powerful. He's good. He's awesome. Well, if that's the case, I wouldn't mind bumping into him, but I just don't know if I'd follow him because I don't think I have any ability to follow. I have an ability to sin. I don't think I have an ability not to. That I didn't know that. But this promise began to change me. And the more I read it, I went, well, I don't know, maybe I should check it out because I'm happy, but not all that happy. I'm kind of happy. Has anybody ever been kind of happy, but not fully? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're kind of. It's mostly because I could do what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted. And thank God, Peggy never did block me. Even though she didn't give me her heart, outwardly she pretty much obeyed because she was afraid of going to hell. I didn't have that fear, so I didn't care if I went or not because I didn't believe in God or hell or Satan or anything. I just didn't believe in anything. And I didn't even take myself seriously. I really was amazed, and this is the truth. I was really amazed I'm not dead all the time. I just, like, why am I still alive? Why am I making it at all? Because I know what I do, and I know I don't deserve to breathe or live, but people are saps. They're easily conned. They like lies. Did you know that most people like lies? They don't want to get to the truth and know everything. So something inside of me said, I want to. Now, I was looking for something like Abraham. Abraham was an idolater. He lived in a city called Ur. He worshipped the moon god, whose name just happened to be Sin. That it's not our word for sin, that's just his name. So the moon god was his god. And he worshipped that moon god in Ur. And that's where God found him and said, Abraham, I'd like to change your life. I'd like to make some promises to you here. And you'll be a faith man if you follow me. Because I want to show you how to be right with me, the real God, the living God. And Abraham said, I don't even know who you are. What are you talking about? No, that sin God, that's not the real God. I'm the real God. Well, why are you talking to me? I mean, if you're the real God, you come downstairs like this and just talk to people? So God actually loved me personally so much that I know that that's possible. Because I believe God came downstairs and talked to me personally. And shook me to the depth till I was dead. Do you know that if you actually see and hear and come to know God, you're dead? See, he wanted to be God over me. and I didn't want him to be. I would kill him if he tried to be God over me. I don't want anyone to run my life. I don't even care if I ruin it. I would rather ruin it on my own than have somebody else tell me what to do. Do y'all understand? That's my rebellious background. I never obeyed. I could truly say to you, I have never in my life ever done anything good. And when it looked like it was, it only looked like it was. Do y'all understand that? I just did what I had to do to get by. And I would say anything or do anything, whatever it took to survive. But I never, ever loved my mother, loved my father, had a whole bunch of them. I never loved anybody, ever. Isn't that powerful? Do y'all understand that? Now that's more wicked than anybody else here, including my good friend here. But the truth is, everybody's like that. You just don't know it. And it just takes a while to figure that out. Anyway, I did because of my background. Just poverty, ignorance, stupidity. But because of my background, you know, all the junk that happened, all the mafia, all the everything, because of that background, you learn quickly that nobody's on your side. You're alone. You're just you. You don't have anybody, no family member, no neighbor, nothing that's going to do you any favors. They're all out for themselves. So it's dog eat dog. So the only thing is, I was a small dog. Have you ever seen a small dog bark at a big dog? Sometimes a little chihuahua can run a Great Dane off. You know, the guy could just gobble him up like that. You know, they just nibble at you. You know, it's like, and have you ever seen that in a house? A little bitty dog like that can just make these barks and bite at you and stuff and scare a big dog. Especially if he was the first dog in the house. You know, it's my house. Anyway, so I just knew, look, if I'm going to survive, I just got to eat up all the other dogs before they eat me up. And at least if I can't eat them, I should bark really loud. You know, make a lot of noise. God told Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to make you seven promises. He made him seven promises, and the first one was, I'm going to show you a land. In other words, I promise I will show you a land, and you will be great. And you will be king over all kinds of kings. You're going to have all kinds of kings coming out of you and so on. And I'm going to do this for you. And blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Bigger than anything his sin God had ever offered him. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out. So God, the living God, Most High God, called him to a place he should afterwards receive. In other words, I'm going to take you to a land, show it to you. You could never find it. And then I'm going to give it to you. That's amazing. There's a lot of ways to obtain land. One way is to go and buy it. Another way is to wait for a crisis, an economic crisis, and buy it for 10 cents on the dollar. Don't worry. The housing thing is going to go down some more. I don't care what it looks like right now. It's gone down, and it's going to go up a little bit, then it's going to go down really bad. Now, it doesn't matter, though. There's other ways to do it. You can just simply sit in the house, be a squatter. You can actually deceive the true owner by living in there for, you know, umpteen years. There's another way to do it. Kill or conquer the person that has it. You just take it over. There's another way to do it, and another way to do it. And there's all kinds of ways to obtain something, to get something. Here's another way. God said, I'll give it to you. Whoa. I'll drive out the enemy before you. I'll give you the land. And the reason is because I don't like the tenants that I now have. The Girgashites, the Amalekites, the, you know, Hivites and so on. I don't like them. They're vicious people and they're setting up a bad, corrupt government. Like America is today. I'm going to just throw them out. I'll put another people in there, your seed. Abraham said, you know, for some reason, I believe him. I believe, even though there's giants in the land, I believe God could overthrow them. How many know that no matter how big the problem, God could overcome it? If God tells you he's going to do something, he is able to do it. Isn't that amazing? Now, Abraham went forth, and this is what happened to him. He went to the place which he should receive for an inheritance, And he went out not knowing where he went. That's one thing about God. You never know what he's going to do. When he's your God, you don't know what he's going to do. I had no idea what God would do or why he would do it or how he would do it. I just knew if he said, Jim, I'm going to give you to your wife, Peggy. Your what? Yeah, I'm going to give you to your wife, Peggy, over my dead body. Exactly. So he said, exactly. That's what I had in mind. No way. I'm not going to volunteer. That's right. I know that. But neither are you going to get in my way, because all you have to do is believe what I just said. Well, if you can do it, okay. If you can do it, but I'm not helping. I'm not going to help you. I'm going to stay selfish. I'm going to stay selfish until the day I die. Okay, we got that arranged. So you will die. How many know that you can die in several ways? You can die physically, but you can also die psychologically. God can actually change your life right this minute toward your spouse, toward your nation, toward whatever, toward him. God at any time can cause you to change your mind, repent, because he has total power over your body and over your soul and over your spirit and over everything. And that's all he was saying is, Jim, I'm just kind of announcing to you that I'm taking over everything because it's all mine. Yeah, I'm going to fight you. It's okay. Put up your dukes. Let's do it. Come on. Hit me. Hit me. I'll kill you, and I mean it, too. Yeah. Okay. You're tough, aren't you? And so God thinks it's funny. All little kids fight with their dads. They just do. They get down and they want to overthrow them and punch at them. You ever seen that with little kids? Put a punch at you. Ooh. And the dad falls over backward on the carpet. You know, oh, you slugged me good. And the little kid, it's like real to the little kid. I hit my dad, knocked him right out. Now, the truth is you can't overthrow God. He is the one guy that can't die. You can kill him a billion times and it doesn't work. He can't defeat him. He just jumps up again. Oh, man, there he is. So God is into, you know, death and resurrection. He just, oh, you killed me? Okay, I'm back. Now, God said to Abraham, look, I'm going to give you this land, and when I say it, that's it. You can count on this covenant that I'm making with you. When I say, I will save you to the uttermost, I will. I will. I'll do it. I promise to change you, not in heaven, but on earth. By faith he sojourned, that means it wasn't really his, it's a pilgrim, in the land of promise. Now God has made you a promise that in this earth, he will give you victory over all your enemies. Has anybody here experienced that? He'll give you victory over the economy, victory over, you know, Satan, victory over everything. Do you all have, I mean, that would make you happy. No, you know, that wouldn't that be powerful? If he gave me victory in everything, that would be amazing. I mean, he shouldn't. He knows that I'll mess anything up that you give me. But he doesn't withhold just because you could mess everything up. He knows how to do what he wants to do. Now, if you build it on works, I guarantee you it'll fail. If I have a duty to worship God, which creates a right to do my duty, which necessitates a liberty to do what I have a right to do, which then implies that I have the capacity to govern myself, I guarantee you it'll fail. If our nation were built on that, it would have failed. But Thomas Jefferson decided not to build it on that, but to build it on this right here. A promise. Every other nation was built on a law. This nation would be openly built on a law, but secretly built on a promise. Why? Because it was in the people. It wasn't in their documents. It was in them. And the genius of the people, the genius of the American people, was that they wanted to obey God willingly. The French did not. The English did not. But the American people that came from France, Huguenots maybe, or from England, Puritans perhaps, or whatever, they actually liked the idea of these promises and believed they could be changed, transformed, so that the nation would actually be a godly nation on earth as an example to the whole rest of the world. That's what they believed. Are you all aware of that? It was a dream. It was an experiment. Nobody, even those that did it, knew that it would happen. They just thought it could happen. And they feared God, they didn't write that in their documents. They feared God over here, that what if God can keep his promises, then I have a right as well as a duty. But you see, I don't need it to be a duty, because I want to do it voluntarily. Nobody's making me love my wife. I just love her. And I'm not just saying it. I love her to the death. I would die. I would physically die, mentally, emotionally, financially, whatever. I don't care what she says, what she does. I love her unconditionally. She doesn't have to be good. She doesn't have to be nice. She doesn't have to be friendly. She doesn't have to do anything. That's a great marriage. I don't want her to ever do a lick of work for me. I don't want her to. I don't want her to do anything. I just want her to, you know, be blessed. Be safe, be happy. That's it. That's all I want for her. And I get to do that if I want to. No one can make me do it, but no one can prevent me from doing it. If I want to please Peggy, I can do it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's amazing. On earth. Not amazing in heaven, but it's amazing on earth before we get there. Could God so inhabit a person that he would have no self and he would give up his self and sacrifice himself and throw away himself and renounce all that he has, take up his cross and hate everything else in the world to which he has allegiance and give all of his allegiance to God? Is that possible? Is that possible? Could anyone here have such a life where you had no life of your own? You had no will of your own. You had no thoughts of your own. You had no works of your own. You had no words of your own. You just had his words. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing that I spoke to Peggy the way God would speak to her? All I have to do is go and ask God, God, what would you say how I should behave right now after what she just did? I think she should be hit, don't you? And he'd say, no. Jim, what I think is you should be, because even though it's her fault, it's your responsibility. You're the head. What kind of head does she have? Think of it. Okay, so you think I should be hit. Well, where's me then? Oh, Jim, you don't have to worry. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Let's beat you. Let's spank you. Let's make you pay. No, Jim. If you lose your life, you'll find it. If you keep your life, you'll lose it. Give up your life for others. As I direct. I'll tell you what to say, when to say, how to say it. I'll tell you what to do. I'll just be God over everything. It's like, man, where will I be then? Where will I be? God says, I've already taken care of you. You will inherit the earth. What do you worry about? Well, that's a good point. Okay? So I don't have to worry. I don't ever have to win the argument. I don't have to be right. I don't have to do anything. I'm free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Did you know that you're free to love your wife? Isn't that amazing? Does she deserve it? He's shaking his head no. He's expecting a different answer. So you and I agree. Should have been a different answer. No, she doesn't have to deserve it. That is irrelevant. It's irrelevant that she sinned. It's irrelevant that she's imperfect. It's irrelevant that you are. What's relevant is what God has said. That's all. So Abraham said these words. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. God made the promises. As in a strange country. That's where we are now. America's a strange country. Dwelling in tabernacles, tents, not permanent, no house, no foundation, with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. So the promise was not just to Abraham, it was also promised to all of his heirs. So in other words, he had a promise from God, your seed will never fail from this earth. Whoever comes out of Isaac, Yitzhak, whoever comes out of Yitzhak is going to be, and then he's going to have kids who are going to have kids, and all the way to the end. You will never destroy the seed of Israel. Now, today Israel's worried about them being destroyed by the, you know, Muslims or something or other. Look, it can't happen. God already promised it'll never happen. I gave you a promise. I will keep that promise. Not only that, But he's made that same promise to all mankind. That same promise is not only to you, Abraham, and to your seed, but to all the families of the earth. There will never be a family on this earth that will not have one member, at least, in the kingdom of God. That's amazing. But that's a big promise. He not only promised that the Jewish people would survive, but so would everybody. Everybody's going to have somebody that survives. It's up to y'all. It's up to y'all. If you want to survive, if you want to prosper, if you want to be great, God made that promise. So do you believe it or not? If you do, then you'll behave. You'll actually line up with that promise. Because the promises of God are irrevocable. They can never be revoked. He can't even change them himself. Once he makes a promise, he can't go, I changed my mind. After I saw what you did right there, I'm not keeping my promise on that. God can't do that. He has to love you unconditionally. And that's the way he wants you to learn from him, to love your wife, your husband, your pastor. Hope you all love me. So I throw that in. I don't know. It's just, you know, it's not my idea. God just likes me. Sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's amazing. You have to. I didn't say it. He did. Now, when you rely on that, it changes everything. All of a sudden, there's heaven on earth. All of a sudden, everything in your life is cleansed, purified, redeemed, restored. The fire burns off the old, brings in the new. The fire that destroys your flesh is the same fire that purifies your spirit. Your spirit is now being set free more and more and more. You have nothing to do with it. You don't make it happen. You just simply believe he's a liar or he told the truth. If you believe that he told the truth, then it'll change your life. If you don't, it won't. It won't. So you don't have to do anything. So this foundation is totally different than this foundation, but the founders in their documents said nothing of this secret because it was in the people. It's not in the government. How many know today government makes laws without you? Even though the documents say they make laws with your consent, they make a billion laws without your consent. They don't care if you consent or not. They do not care. They're despots, tyrants, wicked, have no authority, and no real power. But it's all right. They still do it anyway. That's called de facto. In fact, they're ruling and you're not. In fact, you're enslaved. You don't know it. We still live under an illusion. You're free and got a constitution. That's nonsense. It's a piece of paper. It's nothing. But you see, the secret is not in pieces of paper or in how corrupt our government is. It's whether you, my people, if you, my people, just my people, forget the government. It's nothing. If you, this is the foundation right over here. If this is your foundation and not just this, because no one will do this. Did you know that natural man will never do what he's told to do? You can say, I will, all day long. Do you take so-and-so to be your husband, to your wife? You know, I do. Yeah, but you can say that all day long. It doesn't mean anything unless it means something. So it would have to be real. And how could a woman ever know if a man was telling the truth? You can't? That's true. You can't know. How could a man ever know that that woman would be his helpmate for the rest of his life? Completely submitted to him. Never emasculate him. Never speak against him, but she would just be lovingly, graciously committed to him. How could a man ever know that? Did you know that there's never been a man on earth that had a woman that was pleased with him? Did you know that? And no woman has ever had a man that loved her unconditionally, without condition, unless he or she be dead. And so only God can kill such a woman and such a man. Because women are as wicked as men. I'll say that again. I don't know if I was clear on that. That men are obviously wicked, but women are not so obviously also wicked. Treacherous. But it's okay. Wicked people marrying wicked people, it's all fair. But what if God could get a hold of one of them? That'd make all the difference. That would make all the difference. Now, let's say Peggy was the first one, which she wasn't. But let's say Peggy was the first one to get a hold of it. and she was a true Christian, then she would suffer and love it. But fortunately, God realized she wasn't going to do it that way. So she was always miserable. I've told this story. I used to have her sit on the front row so that no one could see how miserable she looked, because I was preaching about the good news of Jesus, and I didn't want anyone to see that Peggy wasn't following that at all. And so I said, "Peg, sit on the front row so no one can see what you're doing." But what always amazed me was she, somehow sitting on the front row and looking only at me, knew what everybody was doing in that church. And she'd come home and say, "Did you see so-and-so left?" "What are you talking about?" "They just left. They didn't like what you said." I said, "You're kidding. How do you know?" "I just know." And she could tell me everything was going on, and she was sitting in the front row, miserable. So now she sits in the back row, and now you can't see her either, because you're watching over here. This is good. Do y'all see how good God is? Now, if God can do it, only God can do it. Don't you think you can help him? You cannot help him. God just made a promise, that's all. And if he keeps his promise, he keeps his promise. If he doesn't, he doesn't. It's up to you to decide. Now, there you're free. There, he has not given you any law that you have to believe in him. There's no law that says you have to believe a promise. There is only a promise given, and you may or you may not, depending on how well you do on the keeping the law thing. I don't do it well, so it was promise or nothing. Now, when you start building your foundation, not like Ur. Now, Ur was a city that was built in the plain of Shinar, or Sumer, first civilization after the flood. But Ur did not have a foundation as far as God was concerned. Why? Because it wasn't built on promises. You see, government has nothing to do with government. Government has everything to do with how a people govern themselves, whether under God or not under God, whether under law or not under law, on promise. And so, America really, Israel actually was built on promises, but you know, when the promises came to Moses, he ignored those promises. Even though they were given to Abraham 430 years earlier, Israel to this day is still built on Moses, not Abraham. Why doesn't the Jewish religion build on Abraham? You know, it says it does, but it just says it does. But actually, it's built on us behaving ourselves. We, the Jewish people, are going to behave ourselves, just as God hath said. And of course, to do that, they have to change a few of the things God has said. And, you know, even though he said you have to have a temple, you don't. I mean, that's changing things. Even though he said when you sin, you have to have bloodshed, you don't. And they changed some things. They changed everything essential and did not go back to the promise. Yet, God's going to keep his promise to them. Because he promised to Abraham. He promised to Abraham. But the Jewish people, they follow the law. And so if you want to find out what the law is, you just read the Jewish people. Here's what you owe to God. Here's what you owe to your fellow men. Here's what you owe to the government. And they got all those laws. They have all kinds of laws for secular things, spiritual things, you know, moral things. They got a law. But they've never done it. They've never done it. How foolish can you be to say you're going to do something and not do it? That's called liar. You know, remember when God gave it? Remember he come on high, he handed down the Ten Commandments. Moses, take these down, show the people. So he took them down, the people were sinning, broke them, came back, got another set. Took him 80 days, 80 days without eating, by the way. He said, okay, show it to them again. And you know what the people said? We will do it. Isn't that amazing? We will do it. Now, there's no promise there. That's self-obligation. We promise to do what God hath said. Really? How many know you cannot do what God hath said? Because what he has said is, basically, be perfect. Be like I am. Love me, love your neighbor, love even your enemy as I do. You shall be holy as I'm holy. Now, if that's a command, you're in trouble. If it's a promise, you aren't in trouble. And it is a promise. Now, through Jesus Christ, we now know the promise. Here's Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson built America on this. Abraham looked for a city with foundation. He found it. Thomas Jefferson said, let's build America that way. Adhering. This is so powerful. There was a Baptist church up in Danbury, Connecticut, who wrote a letter to him. Most of you have never read the letter. You read maybe Jefferson's letter back to them, but you never read their letter to him. So I went and found it. And here it is. It said, this is the thing they were concerned about. Let me see if I can find that. All right, here we are. Okay. No. Letter to President Jefferson dated October 7, 1801, Danbury Baptist Association. Sir, among the many millions in America and Europe who rejoice in your election to office, we embrace the first opportunity which we have enjoyed in our collective capacity. In other words, as Baptists. Since your inauguration, to express our great satisfaction in your appointment as Chief Magistrate in the United States. And though our mode of expression may be less courtly and pompous than many others who clothe their addresses with, we beg you, sir, to believe that none could be more sincere. So the Baptists are saying, you know, we're not really learned type people, just ignorant type people, but we're sincere. We're glad you're the president. Now, he was called an atheist and all this stuff, and he's not exactly a Bible-thumping conservative. Our sentiments are uniformly on the side of religious liberty. That religion is at all times, this is them writing, we're for liberty. So liberty is everything on this side of the line. Here's the law over here. Government is law. It's nothing but force. I tell you something to do, you will do it. It's a command. Don't do this or do this. It's a command. If you do it, you're rewarded. We leave you alone. Leaving alone is over here in liberty. If not, we then punish you one way or another. So here's the deal. Now, over here is liberty to praise God, liberty to love your neighbor. They won't get in your way unless you don't do these things or do it in such a way that you injure God or injure others. So if you trespass against those natural laws, the government doesn't have laws for everything, but it wants you to be free unless you use your liberty to, let's say, like the Muslims today. If you steal, they cut your hand off. Well, the Americans would interpret that as not natural. You get on a bus and you blow everybody up. They would consider that evil, the Americans. So that part of their religion, they would not accept. Now, if a Muslim loves his children, they accept that. If they go into the synagogue or into the imams, you know, whatever they call those things, if they go in there, it's okay. Because they're not harming anybody. But if they break a law that we've set up over here in their liberty over here, we call that license and we'll stop them. Let's say they promote drugs, which they don't. But that doesn't mean they don't take it. But let's say they don't believe in adultery, but let's say they do it. Well, those we may or may not get into, depending. So religion is not free to do any old thing. What's it not free to do? What's natural? So it isn't because it's not Christian. It's because it's not natural, universal. All men know getting on a bus with somebody, even if you're a Muslim, and blowing everybody up, including yourself, is evil. Everybody knows that. So that's how the founder said, we're going to leave you free over here to owe to God what you owe him, owe to your fellow man what you owe him, but don't break nature, because God has given this natural law and you can never break it. So it isn't that, you know, one guy worships a tree and another guy worships Jesus. There's no harm in that. It doesn't harm me that a guy worships the tree or a bush or Allah or Buddha or whatever. God will judge that, whether what he did was right or wrong. Do you all see that? So that was left free. We will leave you alone unless you do something in your worship or in your love to other people that's injurious. There's no law that says you have to love your neighbor as yourself. That's a religious thing. You voluntarily can do that. If you want to love your neighbor as yourself, that's your thing. But what they say is, but don't injure your neighbor. That we're going to make a law on. Just don't go and choke your neighbor or force him to believe a certain thing. America then was built on freedom. If you do all of this, which basically is don't do any harm. If you don't do any harm, and one of the things you do is you render to Caesar to stop guys that do harm. That's why you're paying him. The only thing you should pay him for is defense. Defense against foreign enemies, defense against domestic criminals, and defense against a government that's tyrannous. That the government promises. If that happens, then you're left free. So you never come under the law if you just simply do those few things. So government's a small matter. But if you have this secret that nobody knows about, it's not in the documents, you're the only one that can overthrow this. Because this can never overthrow this. The idolatrous, you cannot overthrow. The immoral, you cannot overthrow. The tyrannous, the unjust, you can't overthrow it. Only Christians actually could make a difference because they voluntarily, over here, would use their liberty to put away these people because they are for what's right. So, therefore, this and this, and this only if it's right, but they're not for this because that's bad government. So a Christian then is not disturbed by that. Well, these Baptists are telling, we're glad you're the president because you're for liberty. And we want to use our liberty, not for politics, we want to use our liberty to build a better society, but we just want to use our liberty to worship God, love our neighbor, and obey Caesar properly. Now, let us go. Do not put us under any strictures. Don't make us all be Anglicans. Don't make us all have to worship sticks. Let us do whatever we want to do and give everybody that right. So, they're excited. That religion at all times and all places is a matter between God and individuals. That there's only three of these. That no man ought to suffer in name, person, or effects. In other words, their stuff. On account of his religious opinions. That the legitimate power of government extends no further than to punish the man who works ill to his neighbor. In other words, government should never do more than that. It shouldn't tell a man how to worship, when to worship, where to go, how many churches you can have, how big your property can be. Just stay out of that. Leave us alone. We'll govern ourselves. If we break the law, come and get us. But if we don't break the law, leave us be. Now, that was the first nation on the face of the earth to ever allow that. First nation on the face of the earth to ever allow that was America, wrote it into its documents. But unless it's in the people, what's a document? Now, I won't read the rest of it. It's very, very powerful. But Jefferson then says these words back. Believing with you that religion is a matter which lies solely between man and his God. That's a free church. Right there is first time history of the world there's ever been a free church. Right there. 1776. Now, he's not the president until 1801, 1800, and that's when he starts. So these guys write him and say, hey, make sure we don't go back to the old junk. Let's not have toleration and, you know, religious persecution. Let's skip all that. Just give freedom. Let government stay out of it. Because anytime you get involved in it, you'll muck it up. I mean, the government mucks up anything it touches. Except if it sticks to its own limits that the people, the sovereign people, not the government, but the people. When the people set up their government, they don't restrain the people, they restrain the government. And they restrain people that take away our liberty. That's what they're restraining. In other words, we should have the liberty to obey God and self-govern. But if we break the law, of course then government should step in. It's the only reason we want government. Some foreign enemy, some domestic criminal, government itself becoming tyrannous, then let the government get mad. Right there. Let them do something. But how is the government going to clean up the government? So unless you, the people, vote, unless you, the people, are of the people, for the people, by the people, unless you, the people, stay involved, well, you don't even know how it works. You don't even know what the deal is. You don't know how to, you know, pay more than that guy that's got billions that he's going to dedicate to some corrupt system. Can't do anything about it. So now individuals or small corporations or large conglomerates can actually outdo you. Because they can bribe one senator or one representative and they got more money than you do to do so. Your vote doesn't count. Do you all see that? Now, Why not have that kind of government since that's the government it's always been? I'll tell you why. Because God made a promise. So I'm not for that. I believe that, and I've been involved in politics, I believe that a person involved in politics never should lie, cheat, or steal. Now, I used to lie, cheat, and steal, so I know exactly how to do it. I know how to worm my way into any situation. I know how to make payoffs, how to do double dealing, get underneath the table. I can do all of that. I love that kind of thing. It doesn't bother me at all. I'm not at all offended when people do it. But I'm not going to do it because God said, you do what I say and suffer. So I love that. You see, I like suffering. I like being hated. I like being misunderstood. I learned it from my wife. It's no problem. I don't mind that at all. That's not significant to me. You all understand? And unless you're dead to this world, you cannot accomplish anything in this world. You have to be dead in your job, in your politics, in your family, in your own life, to your own ideas. You don't know anything. You don't know anything. You don't know what you're doing. Now, surrender. Give up your life to God. Let God take over. God made promises. I will never leave you or forsake you. Whew. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. And not only that, I'll perfect you. That's a promise. I'm not going to perfect you in heaven. I want to perfect you right here on earth. I'm coming back for a bride. My son is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Well, we've never seen that. Nobody's ever seen that. That's because today, the churches are no longer free because the government is now tyrannous. It's this government, not this government. This is the government on paper. This is the government in fact. This government is now on your dollar bill. That's the government you now have. That unfinished pyramid. Now, the foundation of that government is works, whether you know it or not. This disobedience is based on this thing that I thought I could obey. You cannot obey without God. You can't have a good marriage without God. You can't have a foundation under your marriage unless the man is dead. So I put no weight on women, ever. I put all the weight on the man. The man has the problem. Dan, you're the wicked one. Did wrong. No, it doesn't matter if you're the wicked one or not. Maybe she was. But you're wrong because you didn't take responsibility. And you're wrong because you weren't dead. You were alive. You were legalistic. You were thinking you could perform. So there's no joy in that. I mean, it's no fun living with Dan. It would be awful. Till he met Jesus. Till he met Jesus. But once you have Jesus, then it's all right. Because now you admit, well, I'm as wicked as everybody else. There's not going to be a fall or breakdown on something like that. You see, there's nothing Peggy could ever do that would make me leave her. I will never leave her. I will die before I'll leave her. Do you understand? I mean, you have to kill me. Because I'll never leave her because I have no laws. I have no laws for my wife. None. Zero. Everything she does is all right. If it's wrong, I pay. That's cool. You know where I got that idea? From God. I sinned and he killed his boy. That's amazing. That surprises me. I did the sinning and Jesus had to pay for it. That seems wrong. That doesn't seem right at all. But that's exactly what I needed because I did sin and I should have died. And I'm so glad he didn't kill me, but he killed Jesus instead. I'm happy for that thing. That's like, thank you, Jesus. Sorry about you. But then he jumped up again. So God took care of him, even though he suffered, God took care of him. So the best is yet to come. I believe that in these last days, Jesus is almost going to come back. It's almost ready. Everybody thinks some bad thing's going to happen to the economy, to the world, and so on and so forth. Yes, it will, but not until you're worth persecuting. I mean, there's no point in sending you through the fire if everything burns. I mean, that's kind of silly. So the only reason it can burn you is because there's something there that won't burn. There's something left. It may be a small, small portion of your life that you could still give to God. This is all I got left. I threw myself away. I've wasted myself all over the world. All kinds of bad liaisons, all kind of bad connections. But here, this is all I have left. Me, my will. I'll give you me, my will. Much of me is gone, but this part of me is still left. Did you know that God will never put you in a situation where you actually have given away everything? You still have a little bitty piece of you left. Your soul is not restored. You got a piece of it. This is all the soul I have. Okay, give it to me.
But it's all I have.
Exactly. So give me all you have.
Well, I don't have much.
That's all right. Just give it to me voluntarily. I'm not going to make you do it. Just go ahead, put it there. But do it happily. I said happily. So, when you turn yourself over to God, all of a sudden you realize, wow, He does better with that little bitty piece than I could have done. Not only that, I've lost everything else anyway. And then He will restore your soul. He'll not only take that piece, resurrect it, but He will also pay all your debts, fix everything up, totally restore you, and then go and find all the pieces you spread. To your soul, He restoreth my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Isn't that powerful? Did you know that when you let go and surrender to Him, hand it to Him, He actually will do everything that you wanted and more. Because it's His will. It's not your will. You don't even know how to be happy. You don't even know how to be safe. You cannot safe yourself. You cannot happy yourself. But if you turn it over to Him, He will safe and happy you. He'll say, no, I always wanted you to be secure and safe. Don't worry about a thing. I'll be your shield. Abraham, I'm your shield. Don't defend yourself. Don't even try. Don't even try. I'll just do it. Then I'll give you an exceeding great reward, way beyond anything you ever imagined. More than you could ever have gotten with your own strength and power and brilliance. I'll just give it to you. Seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else. Let go of that, you know, everything in your life. Just let go. Renounce all you have, you can't be my disciple. Let it go. Let it go. Don't be smart. Don't be strong. Don't be great. Don't be good. Let God be good. Let God be smart. Let God be good. Only God is good. Only God is smart. Only God is strong. Only God. So what God has set up, and Jefferson acknowledged, you know, I'm right where you guys are. And that's how we got liberty. You could say that Jefferson and Madison were the two architects of liberty. Most of the others, all of the others, agreed to it. But they weren't fierce like Madison and Jefferson. Those are the two guys that most of all fought for it. The others would never, I guarantee you, Adams wouldn't have gotten it. Washington, even himself, wouldn't have gotten it. If it weren't for those two that God used. Both of them happened to be from Virginia. And the first state where the church was totally free was Virginia. 1776. 30 years earlier than this. And as president, they wanted to know from him, are you going to force us or are you going to let us free? Because all we've ever wanted. Because he said, yes, you can be a Baptist, but you can only do it on so-and-so's property and no further. Yes, you can be a Baptist, but you can't meet at night. Yes, you can be a Baptist, but. It was always, even when they tolerated them, they still had limits all over them. Like, the Baptists were saying, what does government have to do with God? God told us to do something. Why do you restrict us? Why do we have to have a license? Why do we have to get a permit? Why do we have to have a 501c3? Why do we have to have a local tax exemption? Why do we have to incorporate in the state to get stuff? Why can't we just do what God said and leave us alone? Jefferson said, you got it. Now, that's when it became real. Even though, legally speaking, they were free, de facto they were not. So Jefferson was the one that said, look, my whole life I only accomplished one thing, religious freedom. He was the least Christian of all the Christians. But God used him to give Christians their freedom. God did that. Now, he feared God, but he didn't love him like we know. He cut up his Bible that was a little thin paperback after he was done with it. Took out all the miracles, all the blood of Jesus stuff. And the only thing he left was some moral things, like behave yourself. That was about it. So he had a little book on behave yourself. And that was his Bible. So what? Can God not use the devil if he wants? Could God not use somebody who wasn't an atheist? He said over and over again, I'm not an atheist. But what he meant was not what I mean by Christian. But he said, I'm a Christian. But not the kind I am. It didn't matter. God used him in political circumstance to say, all you want, don't worry about it. Don't worry how you got it. All you want is freedom. I just gave it to you. Now, what if you debauch? What if you misuse your freedom? Then you lose it. And the Christians today are going to lose their freedom because they don't know how to keep it. And they're well-meaning. They're nice people. But I say they're ignorant. They're ignorant of the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're ignorant of, you know, how this thing all came about. Even though they're experts in it, that doesn't mean anything. I tell you that God is going to restore to His people, but the present leadership, Christian and secular, worthless. Worthless. Now, you say, Pastor, that's too big a swiping, you know, broad-brushed indictment. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because the whole issue is God wants the way God wants it, and it's just the way it was originally. They're not going back to, you know, the ones that are Christian nation talkers, they want to go back to the Puritans. They don't want the bad guys. You see what they want? They want to make it a Christian nation so everybody has to behave themselves. That's new law. They don't want to have the homosexuals and all that stuff. So they want to use the laws from the church to say, well, that's Christians reject that. No, no, no. Christians don't reject it. It's just unnatural. You don't need Christian to reject that. Christian isn't the thing that's making the difference, but they think it is. Make it a Christian nation, and then we'll be good. And you'll get rid of all the bad guys. You will not. That'll never happen. You can't force people to be Christian. It's voluntary. It's just a free thing. Let it go. But they don't want to. Anyway, I'm not interested in indicting them. I'm just telling you, that's not God's way. Jesus wasn't worried that the Jews were still in power or that, you know, people worshiped the emperor. That didn't bother Jesus. All he said was, go do what I said. He didn't care about how much persecution there was or whatever. Yes, go and suffer. In the world you have trouble, be of good cheer. It's like, I'm going to try to be of good cheer. I'm just not happy. How many know that your marriage, just the way it is perfect? Your life, just the way it is, perfect. Stop griping, complaining, moaning, grumbling, mumbling. Stop it. Just say, hallelujah. You know, seek first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. I'll give it to you. You didn't seek first the kingdom. You want it to be a man-made deal. You know, somewhere a man gets all the pride that we built this thing and, you know, we obeyed God. And so I know you didn't. God does it all or it isn't done at all. If God doesn't do it all. Now, I say I'll win, they'll lose. I just say it just for fun because I don't have a stake in it. But I'll just tell you right now, they're going to lose. Why? Because God still has a stake in it. I don't have a stake in it. He does. He wants there to be freedom. He wants you to be a free people. Why? So you can make more money? No. He wants you to be free so you can use the money you have, not as an owner, but as a steward of His purposes. America today exports junk. It exports, you know, bad movies. It exports crime. The CIA works dirty tricks everywhere. It exports junk, garbage, trash, tyranny, not freedom and liberty. I don't care what our words are. That's what it's really doing. They're not coming to this country to get, you know, go to church. They're coming to go to Walmart. That's why they come. They come to get the goodies, the material goodies that we have. And now that we don't have so many, China doesn't know what to do because it made a big investment. Saudi Arabia doesn't know what to do. You know, they own all this property and it's all going downhill. So they don't know what to do. We're the only secret. We are the light. We are the salt. If the salt has lost its savor, good for nothing except to be trodden underfoot of men. If the light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? So they're not looking for words. They're not looking for concepts. They're looking for reality. Where is the... Start with yourself individually. If you could conquer your mouth, just your mouth, you would be a blessing. You could just conquer your mouth. Shut up until God speaketh. Don't say words to your husband, to your wife, to your neighbor, to whoever. Just say the words God wants you to say. Here's some words that He likes to say. Hallelujah. He likes that word. Doesn't want the good words. But, oh my gosh, God, what's going on? Doesn't want to hear that. He wants to hear, hallelujah, everything's going great. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay, my oh my. That's what God wants, dancing and singing. Do you know what Yehuda means? Judah. It means when the army of Israel goes forth, always put Judah in front. In other words, always praise first, not swords, powerful, smart. Put the tribe that knows how to praise me first, because worship is first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'll give you everything else. I'll give you every one of your battles. You'll either win through the sword or with just the alto section. It doesn't matter how God does it. He wants praise out of his people. Not about what could be, but what is right now. Do you know that what you're looking at right now is not counting? It's what God promised. That's what counts. Live by the promises. I'm in heaven. I'm not going to heaven. I'm in heaven. Are you in heaven? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. It doesn't say you see it. It just said it is. It is. Therefore, rejoice now. Your business, your life, your health, your marriage, your relationships, everything is fine because they're in God's hands. And if they're not, put them there. Put them there. Put your marriage in God's hands. Don't you figure it out. Well, I think this. Nobody cares what you think. They want to hear what you think. It's that God has put you with that miserable person because you're a miserable person for that miserable person. And that miserable person is going to help you to die. Isn't that miserable? No, it's wonderful. The best thing that ever happened is you married another human being that's going to expose you. Amen? You're not going to see how wonderful you are, how great I am. No, you're not. You're going to see how great God is, and God wants you to be happy right where you are. Anyway, God is good. Hope you're blessed today. God built this nation. I never told you the secret till today. The secret is not in any of that stuff. The secret is not in nature. It's in history. Only God revealed his hand in nature, but he revealed his heart in history. That's why after it was all set up, he then came secretly. He came secretly and revealed his son Jesus, Moses, Abraham, all that stuff. But that was all done by promise. Moses isn't adding anything. You know the only reason Moses came? It's to tell you the law so you can realize you couldn't do it. It's the only reason he came. Sin was always sin, but now it became exceedingly sinful because God explained it very carefully. I want you to be just like me, perfect. Now that ruined my chances of doing better than others. I couldn't now compare myself to my wife, to my husband, to my neighbor. Now I had to realize, well, I'm not perfect. That's right. And so he sent Jesus to say, this is what perfect looks like. Oh, like Christ. Yeah, you'd be a Christ person as a Christian. You'd be a little Christian just like Jesus. Well, I can't do that. I know you can't do it. It's not built on works. It's built on faith. I'll do it. Well, how are you going to do it? Kill you. Well, how could you do that? Show you my love. Do you know that love kills you? Whenever you see the love of God, you're dead. Whenever you see the love of God, it's not the power of God to change you. It's the love of God that leadeth to repentance. It's the love of God, the goodness of God. That's what leads to repentance. Not, he's going to hit me if I don't do it. How many know you don't do it? He doesn't want you to do it. You couldn't do it if you wanted to do it. It's not even possible. Besides, he's already had Jesus pay for everybody, and you can't add any more to it. So he doesn't want you to be good because he's already got his all the good he ever wants for you and you and you and you and you and you and you. He doesn't want you to add anything, so there's nothing more to be done than has already been done. This is the best day of the rest of your life.